Go tell it on the mine.
Verses 4. Amen. If you're fit, we'll stand. If you're not, just remain seated. Just make a joyful sound.
Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterwards did more grievous afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walketh in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadows of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoils. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, and in the day, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it had lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of reason against him and join his enemies together. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the people turn not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day, the ancient and the honourable. He is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. The leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led to them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. But for every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burneth as a fire, it shall devour the briars and the thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. They shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, the land darken. The people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother. And he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh and Ephraim, and Ephraim Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Amen.
Good verses there. Of course, the one that sticks out and is probably most appropriate for this particular time of year is the prophecy in Jeremiah 9, verses 6 and 7 about the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for that. Is he still having a bit of a hand? He doesn't have to stand up and say it. He has the hand and you have the lips. There you go. Just want to remind you all, if I can find it, about the prayer list. Make sure you have one. Take one home with you. I'm not going to spend much time on prayer lists today, except to say that don't keep praying for folks. Keep praying for folks. David was telling me there that that fella Andrew, that we had a prayer meeting for about, a week and a half ago, was it? 10 days ago? Can't recall. He's doing better. He's getting a lot of strength back. He was moved from intensive care to high dependency. He's doing a lot better. Please keep praying for him. He was saying to David that there's a lot of other folks need prayers in the hospital. And it is amazing whenever everything else is away from you, just how precious the Lord can be. And it is also amazing how whenever the world is shouting in your ear and has your hand in your pocket and a foot in your back, just how much of your time with the Lord can disappear as you try to keep your head above water. You're always better keeping in there with Jesus. So
Don't forget them. Keep saying your prayers. Keep reading a wee bit of the Bible. Keep fueling up the soul. You would be amazed what a difference it makes. Miss Charlotte this morning as well. Pray for her. She's down visiting folks in Letterkenny. Taylor and Christy, they're still long ways away in the States. And Esther is up in Bangor visiting with Stan and Karen. Don't forget them as well. Please don't forget our missionaries. This old town, strange times we still live in. And I'm just glad that the coronavirus has given us an easy Christmas, but has started to misbehave from last night and needs to be stepped on again by the government. If only they could find out when it was behaving all the time and ease these restrictions off. But there you go. Please do pray. There's a lot to be prayed for. A lot of folks don't have the Lord, and they're depending on the news to give them meaning, and whomever is using the news to do nothing but put fear in people's hearts and minds. So please do it much in prayer. Keep your eyes on the solid rock, and don't build your life on the sinking sand, folks. Amen. Is there anything else you need to be thinking on or praying for? In about 6 days, Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang are going to be heading over to France, and everyone will get a chance to practice their, I just want to say, their Christmas French. What is French for Christmas?
Noël.
Joyeux Noël or something like that. Yeah. I think it's up in one of the banners actually in the town, but there you go. You get to practice your New Year's French instead. So please do pray for them as they travel. There's no service tonight. I'm assuming on Boxing Day folks go places and visit folks, and we'll look forward to seeing you after today on Wednesday evening again. So is there anything else we need to be thinking on, praying for? Will's sister-in-law took ill with COVID as well. They were supposed to be up visiting. So that's Naomi Ritchie. Yeah. So it's Naomi and David and their family. I think they have to, or decided to just come apart into a desert place and rest a while. So please do pray for David and Naomi Ritchie as well at this time. I think that's about that. Nothing else? Okay, we'll have a wee word of prayer and we'll sing another song or so. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day, for life and health and strength, for each of the souls that's here and for the heads that are bowed in your presence, Lord. I pray that you would take this time of refreshing and aside from, I just want to say, a really crazy time in the life of many, just to take it and think upon you, the real actual reason that even the shops close for the day. Please bless our time around your word, Lord. We're so thankful for Andy feeling a lot better. I just pray for his family at this time as well, that you would watch over them. We're thankful, Lord, that there are people out there fighting your corner in foreign lands. So, Lord, we just bear in mind all the missionaries that are out there, Father, that are preaching the full counsel of your word, not just Francis, but all of them, Lord. For kids, for schools, for Open Doors, and for all of the other Christian organizations, for the Christian Institute, Lord. Father, please, I pray, preserve these institutions, preserve these souls as they labor to point others to the foot of the cross. Please look after Ling and Frank, Lord, as they travel to France next week. And Father, I pray that the next day or so would be a time of refreshing, maybe even a little bit of contemplation, and Lord, a step aside from a very busy world, a very strange world. Bless us, Lord, and watch over us. Bring Esther safely home. Look after Charlotte as well as she visits. Taylor and Kristen too. Please, Lord, I pray, would you put your good hand upon David and Naomi and their family at this time and see them recovered in good order. We just love you and praise you. We know, Lord, that there are many private prayer requests. Father, we know there are legal prayer requests as well. Father, you know all of our needs, and I pray that you would supply this day. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a day where we could spend time in fellowship and together and in your name. just ask all of this, Lord. We thank you for loving us and for your patience for us. And we're not just talking about one or two mishaps, but for the many years of patience you have had for us. And Lord, for bringing us to this point in our lives. And we know, Lord, that you're the author and finisher of our salvation, and you'll see us through to the end. Bless us and keep us, Lord. And give me the words to say, and I pray you, Father, that this meeting would be a help and the time set aside from the world, Lord. Thank you for loving us. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come to them. You got a song to do.
70 million.
And this? 79 in the wee black book. We'd like to take it from there. Good Christian men rejoice. Sing for this one. There's some high notes to get on. Let's stand. 423, Joy to the World.
Amen.
little bites of like chicken nuggets instead of a, yes, ma'am.
31
in
the big burger.
Instead of a big chicken breast, it was just like a couple of wee bites of chicken nuggets. He lives. Amen. Hymn number 31 in the big books, he lives. Skip on a jump from where Norman was reading this morning, just literally a chapter away. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. And not so much a Christmas message, but I had a couple of couple of titles. I like to have a title for a message because it sort of gives a direction. And sometimes I have the title and sometimes I have the message and have to find the title. One of the titles I had was Everyone's Doing It. And the other title that I had was The Unopened Presence. So whichever one works for you, they're both pretty much the same, and they both fit the notes that I've written down, thank goodness. I pray this will be a little bit of a help to you. Jeremiah chapter 5, and we're going to read from 25 until the end. Your iniquities have turned away all these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, and they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? The wonderful and the horrible things committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Amen. Verses 30 and 31 is our text. Although, even as I was reading this, I saw verse number 25 could just as easily be our text. But I appreciate your time and attention this morning. And I hope and pray this will be a wee help to you. Let's have another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Lord, please take this time to work on our hearts and minds. I know it's a difficult time of year for many. A time of rest and relaxation for most, I pray. Lord, there's so many people need to know you. Please, Father, through a Christmas message, through a hymn, through a church service, even through a neighbor that's heading off to that strange place they go every Sunday morning and every Christmas Day morning with a book the size of a telephone directory under their arm, please speak to lost souls, Lord. We really do need you. The days really haven't gotten any better since the last time we came into your presence. I pray you please bless us and watch over us, comfort us and strengthen us. Please deliver to us the words that we need and the thoughts, Lord, let us be mindful of them. And Father, let us always keep our eyes upon you. We love you and thank you. And pray this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We are in Jeremiah chapter 5. There are quite a few more chapters of Jeremiah to go. And as you know, and we have been in Jeremiah for a service or two, that Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because he pretty much knew what was coming to the children of Israel. And yet the Lord charged him with going out there and preaching the full counsel of his word. As we start this portion of God's Word this morning, the very first thing in verse number 25, I don't know if you notice it in your Bible, it's like the start of a new paragraph. Can you see that in your Bible? In verse 25, there's a little, it looks like a pie sign. I don't know if you see that, just beside the 25. There's a little pie sign in my Bible. That pretty much means this is a new paragraph or a new sentence. And this is what God gave to Jeremiah to pass on to the children of Israel. He said, your iniquities have turned away these things. In other words, the things that God wanted to give to his people. And your sins have withholden good things from you. And that was the message. The thing with God's blessings, and the children of Israel had discovered it for many hundreds of years, that when God puts his hand on you, it doesn't just stop with you. God's influence in your life affects other people. It gives you an opportunity for the soul that loves the Lord will take that encouragement and that wisdom and those words, that peace that they have, that understanding, the assurance of salvation. And they will want to give it to other people, because if you really, really are loved by God and have trusted Him as your Savior, you will have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and you will have a little bit of that love that God has for every man and every woman and every child, even the worst of murderers. You will have a little bit of that in your heart, and you will want to spread it. And that can work for generations. But unless it's maintained, as the generations go by, it'll decline and it'll decline. And it'll get less and less. And because that takes place over many decades, most people won't even realize. I saw, is it a meme on Facebook? Or a poster? I don't know what they call it. But I saw an interesting post that said, it was a warning to parents to make sure that their children understand what it is that God has done in their lives. Because if you don't make a fuss about God in your life, your children will take that as their base layer. Mom and Dad, don't make a fuss about God. So, I'm not making a fuss about God, but the thing about it is, that becomes that child's highest standard. That's not the standard they operate at. The standard they operate at is lower than that. And they will not only make a fuss of God, they'll probably not even mention Him. Maybe not even have a Bible open in the house anymore, so that when their children come along, the only time they're maybe only going to hear God's name is whenever there's a baptism, or a christening, or a marriage, or a funeral, maybe not even going to church. And that will be their highest standard. And their lowest standard, or their operating standard, will be that of a lost man. When the only time the name of God trips off their lips is whenever they're cursing someone to hell, instead of using the name of all names to save souls, they're damning people to hell with them. And that's just not right. That's the power of God in one person's life. But that's to be propagated down through the generations. Many times the Lord said, even as they were being delivered into the promised land, the Lord said, want a man from each of the tribes, I think it was one or two men, lift a boulder out of the bottom of the river Jordan and set it up on the far side of the Jordan. And set up a pillar of them. And whenever your children say, what's that pillar about? Then you can tell them about the great and wonderful works that the Lord did in delivering the children of Israel into Egypt to be looked after through the famine. And then delivering them out of Egypt whenever there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Moses and started to really put the pressure on the children of Israel. But so that years down the line, after God judged the nation of Israel with, excuse me, the 10 plagues, and the Lord looked after the children of Israel for the 40 years in the desert, you can tell them. Clothes never wore out. There was food every day. We were victorious in all of our battles when we listened to God. So you can tell them. And it's incumbent upon us to do that. But it is also human nature to become used to things and take things for granted. Every time I reach into my right pocket, I have a car key, pocket knife. And today, I actually have a pocket full of change. That doesn't happen very often. Because if I'm ever out with Monica, I would far rather it sit in her purse than sit in my pocket. And I think you owe me a few quid, actually, Monica. Because I kept putting it away, and I thought, I went to my wallet the other day, and there wasn't even any paper money in it. I thought, I wonder, could I ask her for some of that back again? I am used to that. And do you see the days that I don't put my pocket knife in when I go to open a box or a packet or something? I miss that. But whenever you start taking it for granted and don't make a point of making that happen, then you're limited. We were having a conversation in the car and I said, I always carry a flashlight. That's it on strobe. That's the most notable setting of my flashlight. And that's whenever I'm wearing a jacket in church, it's in there. You might think, who in their right mind carries... I don't have my multi-tool on me today. Who in their right mind carries a flashlight to church? And I will tell you, the guy that got caught in church twice and two power cuts out the back with no windows. Because even in broad daylight, it's still pitch black out there without the windows years ago. And I had a keyring flashlight, and then I thought, keyring flashlight don't really do very much, and so I got a little flashlight. Only I'm not looking for, I don't get percentages on Amazon, but they're a few quid on Amazon, and they're the handiest thing. You don't even have to buy batteries. Whenever you're finished charging your phone, you stick your flashlight on the charger and charge your flashlight. Never have to buy a battery for it again. And I depend upon that. I was saying to Colin, the throat plate on the fire had lifted up whenever we were jamming it full of wood. It had lifted up out of a bracket and it tipped over and it wasn't working right. Couldn't do anything because it was burning hot. So I waited till the morning and I looked in. And of course it's pitch black with soot, even in daylight. I put my flashlight in. I reached into my pocket, back pocket and jeans. And I put the flashlight in. I said, that's how you fix it. It's that easy. But when I didn't have a flashlight to do those things, I am less. I am less able. I am less equipped to meet the day. This is what God has given his children back in the days of Jeremiah. I have given you all of this, but if you take it for granted and don't bother with it anymore, your life will be less. And it will come to the point that you'll be no different from the pagans. You always got to watch calling people pagans. Life will be no different from the pagans. You will start to do things that actually hurt you and hurt the people around and about you, and you will displease God. And because physically the children of Israel were God's people, God just didn't wipe them out like he did so many of the other peoples. He had to show the world what he would do. He chastened them. In this case, they ended up under the iron rule of the Babylonians, and then the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, then the Greeks, and then the Romans. And they've been suffering for thousands of years. And they're going to continue to suffer until such a time as the Lord comes back. That might be a lot sooner than a lot of people think. God said, the reason that you're not getting blessings, the reason you're having difficult times, is because you have abandoned me. You have abandoned good practice. You have fallen into bad habits, and you are bringing a lot of trouble on yourself. And the really sad thing about it is, it's called a wonderful and a horrible thing. In other words, it's absolutely amazing that people will do it, and it has terrible effects on people. The people love to have it like that. Isn't that what it said? Does it say that in your Bible? The guy standing behind the pulpit and the priests, they'll tell anybody anything as long as the money goes into the plate. And the people are happy with that. The people don't want to be challenged. The people don't want to be reminded of the great victories they had when they walked and talked with God. They would rather fit in with the rest of the world. Hence one of my titles, Everybody's Doing It. What was the other one? The Unopened Gifts. Sadly, and I'm sure you've probably noticed it a little bit more this past couple of years, there has been a great effort to curtail the preaching of the gospel. Even the first one or two incidents of preachers being arrested in Northern Ireland, of all places, for reading out what the Bible says about homosexuality and lesbianism, and how God says there's going to be a judgment for it. People think, oh, you're just picking on us, but they don't actually realise there's going to be judgment. And everybody that doesn't get saved, it doesn't matter whether you like men or like women, if you don't get saved, you're going to a sinner's hell. But that's not what God wants. He wants everybody saved. So, we have, in these days, I never heard of mosques being shut down. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But I certainly heard of churches being shut down. And if you live 15 or 20 miles away from here, and not even that far, maybe 5 miles away from here, the government shut down your church completely across the border. In so-called one of the most religious countries in the world, The government had the ability to shut down the church. And they tried it here, and many of the churches, including our own, we complied with that for a while, but then I could see the difference that it was making. It was hurting people. People that needed to be in church, whether you feel like it or not. It was hurting us. We were growing distant. We were still doing the same work. And people were losing the desire to read and to study. It's very difficult to do all of these things in your own home where you're used to relaxing. And so we started up again. And we've been going ever since. I don't like prophets that prophesy falsely. I've hated that for years. I hated it when I hate people taking advantage of people, especially my countrymen. I hated it when I walked into PC World about 25 years ago and saw them charging £20 to undo three screws and put in a stick of RAM that cost another £30. I hated it when they charged £100 for reloading a system, and I thought it only taking 3 or 4 hours to do that. I could do that for £30. And that is why I fix computers today. I hate people getting taken advantage of. And that's why this church is the way it is and has me speaking the way it is, because I hate my countrymen being taken advantage of by preachers that prophesy falsely. The thing that saddens me, though, is that the people have sat under it for so long, they don't realize, and they actually like it. Oh, I love our church. We only have a 15-minute sermon. That means we can get in for 11, out for 12, get changed into my leisure clothes and have dinner for 12:45 and be away out playing football or playing video games or doing whatever else they do on a Sunday. And they think that's normal. And that's a frightening place to be. That is in a land where people have forsaken God. And what other possible signs could we have that we live in a country that has forsaken God? I don't know if you can think of any. Hold on. Abortion. We kill our children, our unborn children. That was hated by God. It was an abomination. He called it the abomination of the Ammonites and the Moabites, Molech, where they offered their little children as living sacrifices. Hold on. Let me think of another one. Oh, hold on a second. We have now have government edicts that insist that everybody say gay marriage is wonderful. Well, you can have a government edict that says that. The Bible would respectfully disagree. The Bible says it's an abomination. The Bible says it's God hates it. Doesn't hate the sinner, because he also offers a way out through Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, I think it is, Paul was talking about all the things that would send people to hell. He said liars, thieves, murderers, the effeminate, so on, and abusers of themselves with mankind. He said, and that's the way some of you guys were, he says to the people in the letter. But you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're something else. Pardon? Something could be. But you were made ready for service through faith in Jesus Christ. And now they're trying to push for, I was going to say euphoria, but euthanasia, where people, if they're having a bad day, can go in and get a lethal injection or a little chemical cocktail that'll just knock you stone dead. And it makes the news now when a man has come up with a pod that is 3D printed that you can step into, and it will flood it with nitrogen, I think it is, and it'll kill you in 10 minutes. And it's all very quick, and it's very cheap. And if you're having a bad day, you can do that. Where is the victory to be had in Jesus Christ in all of these things? Oh yes, I might have committed fornication and sired a child or have a child born inside of me. But you know what? Instead of marking myself as a murderer for the endless ages of eternity, why don't I just put my faith in Jesus Christ and raise that child? Why don't I do that and give God the victory? Instead of pursuing a life of endless impulsive and compulsive lust, Why don't I turn my love to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him? Or if I can't quite beat it, why don't I just choose a life where I make God my first and foremost in everything? Friends, we live in these days. For centuries, we lived in the land of saints and scholars, which turned into the land of drinkers and fighters. For years, for centuries, Britain sent out missionaries. But because we have sat under such a compromised, lying, backstabbing, money-grabbing bunch of useless, good-for-nothings who claim to be God's men but live like the devil's soldiers, we are in the state that we are in now. I'm not saying every minister's bad, but it's harder to find a good one than it is to find a bad one. Friends, the second title that I had was The Unopened Gift. And I got to thinking about a few of the things that people have done without for so long that they don't even realize they're missing it. I don't know if you've noticed that past decade or so, one of the things that will get people moving is saying that you feel depressed. I'll tell you the magic recipe for getting the council to come round and fix your toilet, your light, your shower, whatever it is. I'm feeling depressed and this is making me feel bad, and you will have somebody there quite literally before you hang the phone up. That's all you got to do. I'm feeling bad. And feelings have become more important than facts. They have. That was why the preacher was arrested. I think, was it Bangor or someplace, the preacher was arrested because some homosexual's feelings were hurt. Somebody dared to stand up and say, hold on a second. The way you live your life is not right. The Bible says it's not right. Science says it's not right. The hospital says it's not right. The Vintners Association will tell you that substance abuse is through the roof for people living lives like that. So what makes you think you're right? Because my feelings are hurt. The Lord said, feelings will literally shipwreck you. The heart of man is full of all sorts of wickedness and devilment. And who can know it? But that's all the bad things. And those are the things that people are living with day by day and think it's normal. They think it's normal to have drama. When I go home, I want to be able to sit there, and I don't do this, but as a fellow says, home is where you can run around in your boxer shorts and t-shirt and not worry about what anybody's going to say or anybody's saying because you're at home. You can relax. Home is a place where you should be able to recharge physically, mentally, and spiritually. It is, what does they say? It is an Englishman's castle. It's a place where you should be safe. But home's not like that. You're attacked in every corner by the internet, by the TV, and popular media. You're fed this line about how things should be, and it's not working. Suicides are through the roof. Divorces are through the roof. Self-harm's through the roof. Depression's through the roof. All because people have been listening to these cowboys standing in the pulpits, robbing them blind, spinning them a yarn, and sending them to hell by the bushel. It's not what God wants. Have you experienced the peace that passeth all understanding? Can you imagine someone whose head is going 13 to the dozen all day long, every day, what that will do to you? The Lord promised you, Christian, if you're saved, this promise is for you. If, and this is where computer science comes in, it's if you do this, then this will happen, Christian. If you go to the Lord in prayer, you plead with him, you speak to him, you even thank him for everything that's going on in your heart and mind. And I mean everything. The things that you know God wants to hear about, the things you don't mind talking to your friends about, But even the things you have deep down in your heart, you know, that deep, dark, septic well that stinks so much that you keep a lid on it most of the time. If you lift the lid on that to God and let him shine a light into it and plead with him and ask for his help, he says the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. That's in Philippians chapter 4. That's a gift from God to you. Now, I had the opportunity to get some Lego, and I got one practically free. And there was a wee fella in Sainsbury's in Portadown, and he was very well behaved, and his granny just struck up the conversation with us. And he was a very nice wee fella. He was only 4, and his name was Angus, a real cute looking wee. And he spoke to me whenever I spoke to him, and I thought, you know what? That thing there is only a couple of pounds more than what I would be spending. So I got an extra set of Lego. I've shared this with Ling and Frank already. And then I went looking for him. I had this extra thing here that I didn't really need, so I went looking for the wee fella. I couldn't find him. I thought, right, we'll just go on, we'll pay for it, we'll see. A couple of aisles down. And I went up to him and I said, well, how are you doing? He says, I'm good. I said, do you still like Lego? He said, yes. Would you like this box of Lego? And he said, yes, please. And I held it out to him. And guess what he did? He didn't stand like that looking at it. He stuck his wee hand out, I think maybe even both of his wee hands, and he accepted it. He did what he needed to do to accept it. And he was so pleased. And I said, that's because you were very polite and you were good for your granny and you spoke to me. And he was over the moon. That's what we need to do. The Bible says we're supposed to come to him as a little child. And when he says, I'm handing presents out here. If I said to Frank, and I don't know if he will or not, but Frank, here's a pound. That's 10p. I have a pound in here somewhere. There's £2. And I say, Frank, here it is. And Frank says, thank you very much. But he doesn't move from his chair. Guess what? Frank is not going to get that stunning fortune of £2. He might actually buy you a coffee in McDonald's. Frank would actually need to walk over to here. I'm not embarrassed by making your mother pay the pound. I'll just give the verbal illustration. But that's us. That's us. Every single soul that was saved in the Bible had to go to Jesus. Every single soul that was raised from the dead was either brought to Jesus or Jesus was there. Remember Lazarus? Remember Jairus' daughter? Jesus went to them. Every single soul that was lifted up from a sickbed that had demons cast out of them were brought to Jesus or Jesus came across them. And if we want these gifts that so many Christians are ignoring, we need to do what the Lord had. We need to stick our hand out. We need to turn up. One that I have literally depended on for the last, well, ever since I was called to preach, was a little verse that says, whenever you're delivered up, don't worry about what you're going to say in that moment. For I'll give you the words to say. And it'll not be you that speaks. It'll be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. That's the promise of God. And all you got to do is be delivered up. Even put yourself in that place. Knock on someone's door. Start a conversation. Talk to them about the Lord. And say, right, Lord, you promised. The preacher reminded me of it. You promised. And see how he reminds you of Bible verses. Of a wonderful sermon that you heard in Bethel recently. an old hymn or an old Sunday school lesson. But you need to put your faith in Jesus. You need to trust him.
You need to hammer some of those verses in. If we actually take the time to go over our Bible verse from Jeremiah 9:25, where Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. When you have that in your head, the Holy Spirit reserves the right to remind you of it, but if you never learn or take time to note a Bible verse, the Holy Spirit can't. The Holy Spirit is like a furnace that's running cold in most Christians because they never look up the scriptures. But that's a promise from God. If you're ever out, you ladies, I know you do the cleaning from time to time, and you're in the men's bathrooms, and you see that poster on the wall from Isaiah 40 and 31. You ever read it when you're out there? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings as eagles, shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. So what do you have to do? If you or I wait upon the Lord, do what God says. It doesn't mean, right, I've been here for 15 years doing nothing. God's never called me. That's not what waiting means. Waiting means the towel over the arm and waiting for instruction. If you were a Colin works in the shop, shop assistants are there to assist in the shopping experience, to get the stuff on the shelf and then help people to get the stuff off the shelf and out to the till. And that's what we are to do, to see what God wants for us to do, to follow his instruction. What does God say? You will mount up with wings as eagles. Anyone ever go on a plane and you get that lurch in your stomach when the plane takes off? I'm going to go one better. Anyone ever have a dream that you're flying? You can just take off and you're soaring through the air. If you ever have had that experience or you've ever been on a plane, I know for a fact that you have flown over a hedge and it didn't stop the plane. I know you have flown over mountains and it never stopped the plane. And you have flown over seas and it never stopped the plane. Because why? Because that plane was soaring above everything. And that's the promise that God has for you, Christian. If you will do things God's way, that a whole lot of stuff that's going on in this world is just not going to bother you anymore. And you will be able to keep going when other people fail and run out of juice. That's God's promise to you. And how many Christians don't even know that? That it applies directly to them. They're not in church. I know you would get to miss these wonderful sermons, as somebody once said. I get to miss the noisiest half hour of sleep that I get in the week because you keep talking. But you will miss fellowship. You will miss not only finding out what's going on in the church, you will miss maybe 10 or 15 minutes of prayer requests. But you'll also miss being prayed for. You will miss standing up and praising the Lord and getting that opportunity to lift up your voice and not be afraid to be heard praising the Lord in public. You will miss tithing, said nobody ever in a lost church. How am I supposed to miss tithing? Well, when you tithe to the Lord, then you throw your lot in with him and say, right, Lord, I've given you 10%. Can you do your thing and help me manage on the other 90? There was a man in industry, might have been the chocolate industry, Cadbury's, I think it was, although that the names and the products might be changed in my mind to protect the innocent. He was a Christian, a faithful Christian, and he gave 10% of his wages of the company profits. And God blessed the company. So he said, I'm going to give 20%. And God kept blessing the company. He said, I'm going to give 30%. And God blessed the company even more. And he was given 90% and living on the 10%, which might not be that difficult if you're a multi-million pound industry.
And God kept growing company. One man said, how come it is that you give so much away and yet you have so much? And the man said, I shovel it out and God shovels it back in again. But God uses a much bigger shovel. You miss out on that when you don't turn up at church. Or keep those things up on the corner of the notice board there, not because they're fantastic Bible verses, they are. But to remind us what we can do when we get together. Those were two full page advertisements that appeared in local papers that I am sure nobody would feel like paying maybe £500 or £1,000 to put a full page ad in the local paper. But whenever a whole church gets together, that's hardly a bother at all. These are promises that are in the Word of God. I need to put my glasses on to look at the rest. Fellowship, yeah. People don't know what it is to speak to souls about Jesus. Because so much of society today says, are you a Christian? And people go, yes, I'm sorry, but I'm a Christian. That's the way people behave. Because they've seen Christians portrayed as evil on Brookside and EastEnders. And Christians were the whole cause of the Poltergeist films from years and years ago. And people are ashamed or horrified if you stand up and claim to be a Christian. But whenever you don't preach the gospel, whenever you don't or refuse, goodness, I'm going to give you a few verses. Every verse in the Bible says, if you confess me, this is Jesus. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. That doesn't mean you keep getting saved and saved and saved. It means whenever you pray, Lord, I would really need the words to speak, the Lord would say, here's the words to speak. Lord, I would love the people to hear this that need to hear it, and the people that need to hear it, well, maybe they'll forget something, or they'll remember a shop they wanted to go to, or they'll hear it as you speak the words. And you'll be thinking, oh, I was just really looking forward to a rest. But whenever you go out and you are doing God's will, in the same manner that the Lord was out ministering to the woman at the well as his disciples went to buy some food and they came back and they said, we've got lunch. And he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And he went on to say later on, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The number of times that you are so encouraged by just doing what God asks you to do that you don't feel tired anymore. You don't feel discouraged anymore. You realize, hold on a second, I just won a battle against the world, my feelings, and the devil himself to go out and pass the gospel out to someone to give them a chance. And there's another wee promise there that says, my word will never return void. If somebody hears a word that you speak or I speak about the gospel, about salvation, someday one of two things is going to happen. They are going to get saved and they are going to remember the words that you said and they're going to say, what was it they used to say to Superman? Thank you, whoever you are. They will be thanking you for taking that moment and planting that seed. And they'll thank the next person that came along and sowed another seed. And the next person and the next person until such a time. Hold on a second. You know, that actually makes sense. Lord, please forgive me for my sins. Please save me. I'm really sorry for them. And their name's written in heaven. The angels rejoice in heaven. Christians say, amen. There's another one for the streets of gold. That's one of the things that's going to happen. Not another thing. If that one thing doesn't happen, this other will. In Revelation 20, the Bible talks about the dead, small and great, stand before the great white throne of judgment. Now it says dead, standing before the great white throne. It's not an episode of The Walking Dead. It's all those souls that are dead in trespasses and sins. They're not going to be having eternal life. It's eternal punishment. This is where the rubber meets the road. And they will say, I never heard the gospel. And God will say to that soul, do you not remember, which they now will. That's right, Norman told me that. I used to see him walking out every Sunday morning with a Bible the size of a breeze block. At least it seemed like that. And he told me he went to Bethel. And he told me that the preacher's a really good-looking young fella who preaches the gospel. Isn't that what you said? No. That preaches the gospel. I remember that, and I used to think he was absolutely bonkers. And I never did anything about it. And the Lord will say, you had an opportunity. You can't say that you're here because it's anybody else's fault except your own. I did my very best for you. I promised that there would always be my word there for you. Norman's crew were out and they put leaflets in through your door. And you laughed at them and threw them away. You mocked them whenever they were out in the streets with a megaphone. And you stuck the boot into them whenever it became politically correct to give the Christians a good hiding. You might think that never happened. That has happened in countries and is happening today. What do you have to say? And all that person will be able to say is, Jesus Christ is Lord. And I deserve everything that's coming to me in the endless ages of eternity because I refuse the free gift of eternal life. That is how important even you telling someone, I got saved 20 years ago, but I left the Lord. Even that is important. We turned up at somebody's door, just on the back road to Golden Scale, is it Glendale or one of those parks, knocked on the door and said, how are you? We're just doing a wee gospel outreach from Bethel Baptist. Says, you keep doing that. I got saved years ago, but a backslidden. You keep doing that. That's important because that might make a difference. Hold on a second. There's real Christians out there. They're living. They're doing what God said they should do. Maybe I could get back into the saddle again. And God will put his hand in your back and you will get such a... It's not, we don't do it for the kicks, but you will receive such a blessing. You will understand joy and victory. You will see the reason why the pastor said, learn those Bible verses, come to church, evangelize, sing those good old songs. And you will say, like so many people say, I wish I had done that years ago. We need to evangelize. Evangelism is only the cementing of every single thing that you read in the Bible and talk to the Lord about and hear in church. You need to keep praying. You need to keep in with Jesus. Otherwise you will lose out on the dispatching of angels to help you. Because Jesus is not going to confess you before his Father in heaven. His Father will be saying, what about that Mark fella that song? And Jesus said, Dad, he never does anything. So I'm not going to bother helping him this time. Maybe he'll understand that it is far better to walk and talk with us than it is to be somewhere else. And I know I'm making that very common, but that's pretty much the way it is, friends. And it is why so many Christians are unblessed and unministered to. They don't want to. They're afraid of standing out. I want to tell you something, friends. Why do you think there is such a big interest in entertainment, in video games, in 3D? What's this new thing we're talking about? Is it Meta or something on Facebook? We're talking about this complete... virtual world. They're bringing the Matrix in by degrees. And people are spending all their time in there in their little perfect world where they can do just whatever they want and believing that to be a suitable life to lead and an escape from the conviction of sin and judgment to come. I would not like to have been living the last 30 years fearing for my eternity. Instead of sitting in hospital 2 years ago, reciting memory verses to keep my head screwed on and knowing that I was prayed for and was safe in the hands of God Almighty, I would have been frantic, wondering where I was going to be spending a godless eternity. That assurance, that power, that purpose, that even in hospital, you can be talking to other folks about Jesus. That is a thing that nobody in this world can take away from you, but only God can provide. And that instead of having, I don't know if you've ever noticed, if you ever watch it, something on TV that was made in England, has grey skies. You ever notice that? And then something that's made in America has bright sunshine and the colours are all full and beautiful. Have you ever noticed that about TV shows? That's the difference between being saved and lost, friends. When you're lost, everything is grey, no matter how much noise it makes and no matter how many twinkling lights it has. No matter what the colour of the wrapping paper, everything's grey, tasteless. Never enough. But whenever you're saved, you're a new creature. All things have become new. And if you were to ask someone what it feels like to get something new, they would say, it's great. I opened the box yesterday morning and I've been playing with my spaceship, my truck, my action man, my battleship, whatever it is, my phone for the past few days, and it's great. I'm so engaged and I'm enjoying it so much. And that's the difference. I know most of us have phones, probably smartphones. And I know children put a lot more stock in them than adults, or at least they should. But if a child had asked for a mobile phone, this is the example that comes to my head. It gives you an idea, an insight into my head, which you might not want to have. But and they've asked for a mobile phone, and they've asked their mummy for a mobile phone, and put it in a wee note, I'd like a mobile phone, and there's no mobile phone there. But they say, right, sorry, there is a mobile phone there, but they say, oh, that mobile phone, that's, I would rather have, and they get a pair of scissors, and they cut out a square the same size as the mobile phone, and they draw a square in the middle to do with the screen, and a couple of wee dots at the bottom for the buttons, and says, I would rather have this. I would rather have a piece of cardboard with a Sharpie picture of a screen in the front and three buttons at the bottom. Because I don't want that one. What would you say to them? You would obviously be asking the question, is there something wrong with my child? Do I need to go up to the head injuries clinic in Altnagelvin? That they want to play with a piece of cardboard in the shape of a phone rather than having a phone. And yet, that's the way so many Christians live. With poor counterfeits and substitutes for all of the things, and I've only mentioned a few of them, that God has. If you can remember back in other messages, you're doing good, because I can't. People are looking everywhere and paying fortunes and spent entire lives looking for the things that God will give to his child that will turn up and say, Lord, here I am. Why would you do that? He has so much for us. Don't leave all of those gifts, and that's only three or four that we spoke of, don't leave them unopened. Don't. Life is just so much better with Jesus Christ at the foundation of it. It is so much better. But I guess sometimes you have to actually experience how bad it can get before you realize just how much of a difference Jesus makes. I don't recommend it. But some of us are very much showmen. You have to be there to see what it's like. I don't recommend that. I don't recommend going into sin so that you can understand how good a Christian has it. Just keep on going with Jesus. Don't leave those gifts on hold. Thank you for your good time. I think I went on a wee bit longer than I had expected to. You saved your good time and attention this morning. God bless you. We have one slot for a closing hymn. If anybody that hasn't got an opportunity to pick one has one, now would be the time to speak up. I think that's you at the moment, Norm.
319.
319, that is in the big books. What is it?
Just a closer walk with thee.
Sounds good to me, brother. Let's stand as we sing, just a closer walk with thee.